Ken and Ray are on a forced march through the city of Bruges. That's Bruges, which Ken and Ray are cheerily informed is the most well-preserved medieval city in Belgium. Don't feel bad if you haven't heard of it. Neither had they. The city's Gothic architecture has been turned into vulgar kitsch. Inside a somber church, there's a rope line to funnel the thousands of tourists who shuffle through to touch a vial of Christ's blood. At night, the walls of the buildings are lit up like cotton candy. When Ray, who is surly and dyspeptic, encounters a group of morbidly obese Americans and almost comes to blows with them, the theme is made obvious. Commodification is trashing Europe, and Mickey Mouse is our high priest. Ken, who is a big, surprisingly gentle man, and Ray, played by Colin Farrell, kill people for a living. But Ray has botched a hit for their boss, the shadowy Harry, who is much discussed but seldom seen, Harry Lime-like, until much later. He's played by Ralph Fiennes in full tilt mode, so expect a big impression. Now the pair have been banished to Bruges for a few days to cool down. Just why Harry the boss picked Bruges is the film's best joke. I can't tell you what went wrong with the hit because it's revealed late and completely changes the way you see Ray. Can you stay invested in him? Well, that's the risk. And then there's another piece of information about that misbegotten job that isn't given until later still. That careful stacking of the deck, revealing trump cards judiciously, is too rare in screenwriting. It's the mark of a playwright. So is this dialogue. Ken and Ray are at the bottom of a picturesque clock tower. Ken, who actually likes Bruges, says, "Let's go up. Ray. Why? For the view. What, the view of down here? I can see that from down here." And the snap of the dialogue is shot through with rich veins of creative profanity, which telegraph the violence you know is coming. Violence and snappy dialogue and sex, yes, there's sex, or almost, are always a reliable, highly combustible brew. And the playwright, screenwriter, director knows how to work you. If there's a problem, it's that the film is a little too perfect, a little pat. When you see that clock tower that Ken and Ray examine but don't climb, you know it'll be back for the climax, in which all the film's moving pieces come together with a too audible click. What works, and should have been better developed, are the themes of sin and redemption. Ray acts like a 6-year-old boy a lot of the time, a much better fit for Colin Farrell than he's been choosing lately. "Look, Ken, they're filming something. They're filming midgets." But then Ray remembers what he's done and becomes so wretched with guilt he bends over, coughing, ashen as a character from a Graham Greene novel, hopelessly lost in a city as alienating and strange and specific as Greene's post-war Vienna in The Third Man, to which in Bruges is a subtle nod. Though they've scrubbed the city clean, they never could get out the blood, could they, which has soaked between the cracks of the cobblestones. The art on the walls is a silent scream of eternal punishment. One painting shows a man being flensed. If you don't know what it is, flensed, look that one up. Is that what's waiting for Ray? If yes, and good Catholic Ken must believe it, maybe that's why Ken makes an otherwise inexplicable move. Or maybe the film, so full of sinners without saints, simply needed a martyr. I saw in Bruges in Bloomington, Indiana. It's a much nicer city you should come visit. I saw it last week, but now you can't because the movie only ran for 7 days and, of course, it wasn't advertised. It's a good movie to watch for on DVD, or better yet, ask the Writer Film Series if they'll bring it back. Reviewing movies for WFIU, this is Peter Noble Kuchera.